From North State Public Radio, I'm Andre Bayek with your headlines for Tuesday, November 22nd. More than a dozen members of Congress are demanding answers from the U.S. Forest Service after the agency failed to protect the town of Grizzly Flats in El Dorado County from wildfire. For the California Report, Cap Radio's Scott Rodd reports.
The Caldor Fire last year destroyed most of the 600 homes in Grizzly Flats, a foothills community in the Sierra Nevada. A recent investigation from Cap Radio and the California Newsroom revealed the Forest Service predicted, for decades, that a wildfire could wipe out the town. But the agency's plan to protect Grizzly Flats stalled out.
The Forest Service should be held accountable for that project, because I do think that it would have prevented this catastrophe.
Victor Diaz lost his home in the fire. He's currently living in an RV with his wife and six kids. Senator Alex Padilla of California spearheaded a letter from lawmakers to the Forest Service demanding more information.
There's two main parts for sending the letter. Number one, accountability. But I think even bigger is what lessons can be learned from this experience so that we minimize the chances of it happening again.
The lawmakers asked for a list of other communities at high risk of wildfire, where the Forest Service may also be struggling to complete projects. For the California Report, I'm Scott Rodd.
Governor Gavin Newsom has agreed to restore a $1 billion grant for local governments to fight homelessness across the state after he initially threatened to withhold the funds. CalMatters housing reporter Manuela Tobias has been following the story and explains the background of this about-face.
Earlier this month, Newsom rejected every local homeless action plan in the state because he said local governments' goals to get people off the streets weren't ambitious enough. Local governments shot back that they had set low targets because a big pot of the funds depended on them meeting the goals. On top of that, local leaders across the state were blindsided by the announcement because they had spent months working with Newsom's own homelessness agency crafting them. Some of them even thought their plans were already approved. Late last week, Governor Newsom agreed to release the money after all, as long as local governments agreed to more aspirational goals in the future. But it's still unclear how those goals will be judged going forward.
CalMatters Manuela Tobias. The Biden administration has given PG&E $1.1 billion. As Cap Radio's Mike Haggerty tells us, it's a grant intended to help keep the state's only still operating nuclear power plant online.
Governor Gavin Newsom has been pushing to keep San Luis Obispo County's Diablo Canyon operating for an additional 5 years beyond its scheduled closure in 2025 as a hedge against summertime power shortages. President Biden, meantime, has been promoting nuclear plants as a means of generating power without additional greenhouse gas emissions. Today's grant is the most visible sign of support from the administration. In a written statement, PG&E says Diablo Canyon is one of the top-performing plants in the country, and the company is focused on providing low-cost, carbon-free energy to the people of California. But environmental groups, which have worked for decades to shut down nuclear power plants like Diablo Canyon, are voicing their displeasure. Friends of the Earth tweeted the grant continues a long tradition of throwing federal subsidies and bailouts to this, quote, dangerous, dying industry, unquote. In Sacramento, I'm Mike Haggerty.
The money requires PG&E to get renewals of all federal and state permits, and the amount could be reduced if the utility's operating costs for Diablo Canyon are lower or its income is higher than expected. New reporting shows that the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation moves prisoners with serious mental illnesses 3 times more often than other prisoners. We again turn to CalMatters. Investigations reporter Baronda Lyons has more.
The California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation's mental health care system is designed to move people as their mental health needs change. So as people get sicker or better, they move around the prison system. We found one person who moved 75 times over the last 6 years. And advocates say that these kinds of shifts can be destabilizing for people who are already in a fragile mental state.
CalMatters, Baronda Lyons. This reporting is part of a larger series on the state's mental health system. You can find that at calmatters.org. And finally, in this month's election, California voters overwhelmingly rejected 2 ballot measures to legalize sports betting, despite enormous spending by the gambling industry to pass them. So, where do efforts to legalize sports wagering go from here? We again turn to the California Report. KQED Politics reporter Guy Marzorati has more.
In 2020, Napa State Senator Bill Dodd tried to craft a sports betting deal between California's Native American Indian tribes, gambling companies, and card rooms.
We couldn't get really anybody to the table from the tribes, and I think that really led to a dissatisfactory result.
That result was a ballot measure dumpster fire. More than $450 million spent for and against Propositions 26 and 27, with the result that California remains one of the 14 states where sports betting is illegal. As the legislature gets set to kick off its new session, Dodd says the path to a legislative compromise still runs through California's tribal governments, who are bolstered by their resounding defeat of Prop 27.
If the legislature is going to take anything on, it's going to have to come from an invitation from the tribes, because the tribes have an immense amount of power in the legislature, and that's just a fact of life.
With the campaign over, Reed Milanovich, chairman of the Agua Caliente Band of Coyi Indians in Riverside County, says tribal governments will parse through the results and try to unify around a next step.
We have over 100 tribes here, and it's important that we all get together and do what's best. Again, it's not just for tribes, it's for all of California.
Dodd points to one factor that could work in favor of a deal to legalize and tax sports wagers: the state's increasingly cloudy budget picture, with the legislative analyst's office projecting a $25 billion shortfall next year. For the California Report, I'm Guy Marzorati in San Jose.
And those are your headlines for Tuesday, November 22nd. Our theme song is Burrow, and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For NSPR News, I'm Andre Bayek.